see the way they hate. And I know better than to listen to the people who are calling us slaves.
Well, good morning, everyone. My name's Brian, and today is Friday, June 7th, 2024, and this is episode 715 of the Lost Project podcast, and it's titled Rolling Logs. I'll be chatting about some redneck rigging from yesterday, fascist on Noster, some TikTok videos that I got down the rabbit hole on, and a little bit more. But first, let's head into the live chat. See who's hanging out in the coffee crew. Grab a cup and hang out for about an hour. Good morning, good morning, good morning. How is everyone today? Let me see. We got Real Wilder Life in early. Good morning. My stepfather has the log roller thing, like in the photo for his sawmill. They scare the bejesus out of me. Yeah, I wasn't using one of those. If I had had one of those, it would have been phenomenal, but I didn't. I was just looking for some stock photo for the thumbnail for sure. Pippin Eyes, good morning. Happy Friday, humans. Pickle Pete's here. Good morning, Pickle Pete. Missing yesterday and here today. He said he needed a day off yesterday. Glad you're back. Good morning, Canadian Farmstead. Cheese it ad. Canadian Farmstead got a Cheese It ad. As in Cheez-It ad? I might have to star that one. Might need it a little later. Rewilder Life ad was a vintage online store. Nah, that's not bad. Morning, Mike's Homestead. Hunter over on Twitch not grabbing any ads, that's for sure. And it doesn't look like Jim's back over on Noster yet this morning. But, there he is on the vertical feed. Good morning, Jim, and Grow Noster. Hopefully everything is going good with Jim. It's Friday, guys. It's Friday. I'm glad it's Friday. Corey kept me up all night last night. Oh, wait. It's my fault. Hi. Good morning, K-Bong. Let me talk about what's in the cup first, and then I'll get back to how we ended up staying up all night. Mike's Homestead got an ad for a skincare product he's never heard of. Are you a big skincare guy, Mike? Are you secretly using product and doing your nightly routine and keeping your T-zone clean? Canadian Farmstead's wondering if she shook me all night long. No. Anyway, light Guatemalan in the cup today. It is a very, 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 very good blend in the cup. I guess not blend. It's a single bean light roast, and it's fantastic. It's doing me well this morning. I wanted to mention, so we've talked a lot over the course of the podcast about air roasted coffee and air roasted coffee and the low acid content. When you air roast it and don't burn the outside and char the outside of the beans, the acid content in the beans is so much less when you brew it. You're not basically brewing charcoal into your pot. I woke up this morning, we got Charlie's pizza last night. He was in town and I might have overindulged quite a bit, and woke up with a little acid bubbly chest, you know, heartburn, a little like, oh man. Man, back in the day when I was drinking that workplace Folgers in the pot, if I had heartburn from a hangover or something drinking the night before, the last thing I wanted to do was pick up that coffee and drink it because it just burned so much more. I'm sitting here sipping on my light Guatemalan, and it is actually combating the heartburn. Well, it could be that the heartburn was just the like fleeting moment, but I will guarantee you it's not adding on to that that acid reflux. So it's great. It's great. So if you got high acid, if you have a lot of mornings where you're not feeling the best and you still want to drink a good cup of coffee, grab some air roasted coffee, micro batch air roasted coffee from Food Forest Farms. Head over to foodforestfarms.com. Grab lots 10, L-O-T-S 10 at checkout. If you haven't used it before, that'll get you 10. That will get you 10% off the already low prices, free shipping, super customer service. And man, you use that code and Brian will take care of you because he knows it comes from this show. And he is a big part of the show. So appreciate that. Lots 10. If you've already used Lots 10, you can use Lots 5 for 5% off all the time, every time, forever and ever and ever. Check it out, foodforestfarms.com. Pickle Pete says, if you cold brew, also lower acid, 24-hour soak. Gotcha, gotcha. Pickle Pete says, the sauce will do that to you. Yeah, I, yeah. Don't do that anymore. The drinking, man, acid burps in the morning. Then you go in and you got some like Folgers that's been sitting there for about 15 hours and from the night shift, and you pick it up and you drink it and you could like breathe fire across the room. So Canadian Farm says, wondering if a snail got loose. Nope. It's actually all my fault. I will cop to that. Pip says, I'm just finishing up my pot of GSD. Fantastic. That is fantastic. K-Bonk's drinking the light Guatemalan also, and he is impressed. It's hard until you can't really, I can tell you all day long that it's phenomenal, that it tastes great, that it's better than what you're drinking enough to justify A, the cost, and B, just like going through the motions of ordering it instead of going to the store and getting it. I can tell you all day long, until you try it, until you drink it, until you order some and brew it in your kitchen every morning, you fresh grind it, you smell it while you grind it, you brew it, you won't know. You won't know, but I will, I can't see you being disappointed. Canadian Farms that says, I have a nice strong acidic mug of Folgers right now. Oh. Jim says, damn phone won't let me do both YouTubes and Amethyst. Go figure. Yeah, sorry Jim. Jim's drinking GSD. That might be why you can't watch both at the same time, because you're all amped up on GSD. And he says it's smooth. It's good. It is good. And Pickle Pete said he's told the story of the GSD blend. The GSD blend on Wednesday's show. And I mentioned it earlier this week. K-Bonk says he's enjoying the light roast, and he's shocked that he is. Well, K-Bonk, you really didn't like dark roast. You like charcoal. Because if you're drum roasting and you drum roast to a dark roast, it's just more burnt. When Brian and I first discussed air roasting, I had come from the drum roasting world, but even the premium drum roasted, the Caribou Coffee that I talked about, their coffee that they did in their warehouse, even when they were tiny and small, was drum roasted. As I came through that, there was a thing where everybody loves Starbucks, and I would try Starbucks and I was like, man, their coffee tastes like burnt. I don't know what it is. It's too dark for me. I always thought it was too dark. Oh, it's too dark. It's too dark. It's burnt. I realized that I like the light roast from Caribou, especially the Lamanita, the Peaberry. I like the super light roast because it was less burnt. That's it. Jim's in a good mood today. Rewilder Life says Starbucks is nasty. Yeah, it is. Give Food Forest Farms a try, guys, if you haven't. foodforestfarms.com. Brian will take care of you. Feel free to send him a message. Feel free to put notes in the order. It'll be all good. It'll be all good. So, I'm exhausted today. Corey's tired today. We stayed up way past our bedtimes last night. I don't think we started getting ready for bed until, what was it, like 10:30? She says she can't, she doesn't even know. It was so late. She didn't even know. It was like 10:30. When we get to the double digit numbers at night before we're starting to get ready for bed, it's not good. It's definitely not good. So last night I told you guys, Jim says inappropriate comments are brought to you by foodforestfarms.com. So I told you guys earlier in the week, we kind of wrapped up watching Schitt's Creek on Amazon. And so we found a new show. We watched a couple movies and we were dicking around. We found another show. I shouldn't say a new show, it's an old show. But we started watching Chicago Fire. It was a show I watched way back when it was actually on every night or on once a week, I guess. And Corey, it was too late for her to watch even then because it was on at like 9 o'clock at night or something, and she was in bed. But I had this weird schedule where I was able to watch it at night. And so I have kind of an idea how it goes and this and that, but I didn't watch the whole series. I only watched like the first season or something live. And so we're progressing through it now, and I recall a lot of the storylines, but I think we've gotten to a point where I had stopped watching. And so last night we're watching, we watched like two episodes. I think this is two, maybe three, depending on the night, episodes. Before we go to bed, we kind of hang out. We have that on. Sometimes we're talking, sometimes we're paying attention to that or whatever. And so we're watching that. We had Charlie's Pizza. It was good. We're watching it, and there was the episode came to an end, and there was like a huge explosion in a building, and that was the end of the episode. And I was like, I can't go to bed. I can't go to bed. Like, I know the next episode is right there. All you have to do is hit go. Just play the next one. I can't go to bed with that cliffhanger. I said, we don't live in the days where you had to wait a week, a whole week, to find out what happened. Just hit go. I'll stay up another hour. And she looked at me. She just shakes her head. She goes, you know that was the end of the season, right? We would have had to wait like 6 months or whatever, however long that was in between seasons. We would have had to wait 6 months to watch the next episode. Rwella says, I'm getting ready for a night at the farm. Woot, lots of work to do in the orchard. Yeah, I was finalizing plans yesterday for what we have to do to spend the weekends out at Delinquent Scully and have a 5-minute walk to work on our stuff instead of a half an hour drive one way. Pickle Pete says Tacoma FD is the funniest show you'll ever invest an hour in. Tacoma PD, Tacoma FD. Oh, gotcha. Was that a spinoff on Reno 911? Because that literally is one of the funniest shows I've seen. So there is that. Yeah. So I forced Corey to stay up. We watched the next episode, and then it was like after 10 o'clock and we're getting ready for bed. And that's way too late. That's way too late for us. We're old. We are old. And Corey especially. Corey used to go to bed like before 8. We'd be watching a TV show, and especially in the winter, it'd be like, she's like, oh, that's it for me. I'm going to bed. And like when we watch shows together, it's you can't watch another episode. So when she's like, it's 7:45 and she's like, yep, I'm hitting it. I'm going to bed. I got another hour and a half, 2 hours, 3 hours before I'm going to go to bed. And I have to transition into doing something else. So, oh, she's back there crying about having to get up at 3 a.m. And I got up like 10 minutes after her. Jim says the cliffhanger was a way to get moviegoers to come back and buy popcorn and candy. Wait, what? Was that like before the intermission or something? I don't know. Jim's in his own little world this morning. Pickle P says Tacoma FD is like Reno 911, but funnier. There is nothing funnier than New Boot goofing. Sorry. Anyway, yesterday I was saying there, I went out and did some work out at Delinquent Scully yesterday. One of the things was Canadian Farmstead said, Jim's old. They had to change the reels on the machine. I forgot about that. Oh no. Anyway, we were out, I was out working. I kind of did a walkthrough on the cabin. I know Tim was out there for like 50 days or whatever, but we got a little different situation with the dogs and now in summer with a little bit of heat. And so I had to go kind of walk through. We have portable air conditioner we picked up, but I need to do a little bit of shoring up of the cabin. Not shoring up, but blocking some airways and things for the air conditioner, so we're just not blowing the cold air right out. Kind of walk through the motions of being there, seeing what we needed to pick up as far as a camping shower, hanging camping shower, since we're going to be working, sweating. We don't want to spend the whole weekend disgusting. And then like walking through the motions of being there, making lists and really don't want to get, I mean, we're only 20 minutes from home, so it's not like we can't go get something, but I just want to make it go smooth. And so I got that done. And then I walked up and it was time to work on the shed project. The shed project. It's turned into something. So I feel at this point, all the work I'm doing, all the shoveling I'm going to end up doing, all the work I did yesterday, and I'll talk about it in just a second. I feel this is like my punishment for not paying attention enough. Permaculture says, you plan for 9 hours and do an hour of work. You really think it through. You go through the motions, the scenarios and whatnot. I started down that road with this shed, and the shed is like an anomaly because, it came for free. It showed up for free. I'm on a time crunch with it. I need to put it up. I need to make content about it. I was a little rushed there. It was a bad situation. We also had to take into account that, there's nothing really there at the moment. We're just plopping a metal shed in the middle of the woods. I did kind of go through the motions of what if and where, and we had a kind of a cabin general spot and orientation and everything. But, you know, we randomly picked the flattest spot we could find for both the shed and the garage. And we're both really excited to get those put up, because once that happens, we can start moving things there. We can start moving the stuff that we're like storing here that we don't really use. We can start purchasing materials to get working on the cabin and get them out of the weather while we accumulate the other materials. And it's just like that first kicking off point. So I think I might have rushed a little bit. I think for multiple reasons, I might have rushed a little bit, but we cleared the area. And instead of actually determining how much of a slope was there over the 12 to 15 feet by 10 to 15 feet square that I was going to have to work on, I just went to town. I carried the bricks up, and I wanted to be in a position to let Corey help me put it together, you know, request. Because the instructions say it takes 3 to 4 people. It takes 3 to 4 people, 7 hours to put it together. 2 people minimum. And so it's not like I can put it together by myself. And I have limited amount of time with Corey when she can be out there for long enough to make it work worth it. Like I said, with the half hour back and forth, it doesn't make sense to go out after work. And so all these factors, and they're not excuses. Like, it's fucked up. It's not right what I did. Like, I made mistakes for sure. No excuses change that. Like, I own that. And so yesterday, for a few days, I was looking at it, trying to figure out what I wanted to do. So I came up with a plan, and it's going to take a lot of work. And yesterday was the beginning of that, but I'm basically going to build a platform out of the materials I have, because I'm not buying any more materials for this project. I'm not carrying any more up the hill for it. What I have on site and what I've gotten there should be sufficient to put a damn shed up. It should be sufficient to put a shed up. And so I needed to use what I had there already. And I decided I'm going to basically use some of some of the trees I cut down. Canadian Farm says it will be much more frustrating to put it up if it's not completely level. Ask me how I know. Yeah. And that's what I'm sitting here thinking about. That is definitely what I'm thinking about. And so what I've decided to do is I had these two very tall, very straight, and relatively the right size diameter logs that I could, starting from the high point, make a U out of the logs around the outside. I can then stake in, pack in the logs. These are fresh cut. I cut them 2 weeks ago, so I don't have to really worry about them. Jim says type one error. It's not a type one error yet. It's still fixable. It's even if I put the fucking shed up, it wouldn't be a type one error, because the shed would be just torn down if it's the wrong. It's not permanent. Everything here that I've done can be fixed. But the plan I came up with to make it level, instead of digging down, I'm going to just make basically like a raised bed is what I'm thinking. I'm going to make a raised bed. I'm going to compact everything in. It just gives me something. It gives me something to pack against. Pickle Pea says it has to be non-organic or it'll shrink. I understand that. Yeah, I understand that. Pickle Pea says down to earth. It's not going to happen. That is the problem. It's not going to happen. I need to build it up. It's not what is going on right now is not, it's not going to work. So I'm basically making a raised bed, and using the clay in the soil will pack in. I've observed the soil and what we have. It's not worth, like, you guys aren't, you like, I understand what you're trying to talk about, Brian. I do. I really do. I get it. It's a free fucking shed, and I'm done fucking around with it. So I'm packing in with clay around these logs, and they will deteriorate eventually. But as that compacts in there, and as I tamp it in, and as it's getting filled in, then I'm going to use the concrete to make a to make the foundation. But building the berms on themselves was not going to happen. Canadian Farm says, don't look, a gift shed. So it's the thing. Like, it is going to be just a nightmare to put together to begin with. Jim says, more of a terrace. Well, it is. It is. Because I was not smart enough, observant enough, whatever the word is, to actually get the gradient and realize that I was dropping over a foot in the 12 feet, in the 13 foot that I was trying to level out. And I also was just in a hurry when I was removing sod and starting to, hey, good morning, Digger. How we doing? When I was starting to lay sod and all of that shit, pull out the sod. I didn't think about the fact that I should have been shoveling in from the outside and not excavating out to the edges. So yeah, it's been bad decisions, and basically one bad decision. And it's okay. It's all okay. Like, the work is what it is. Like, I was able to move these logs yesterday. They were pretty big. It gave me an opportunity to use my brain, to use my back, to use whatever. But I chunked up these trees into, I didn't want to try to dick around with placing, small chunks of logs around and trying to get them all lined up and staked in and everything. I just wanted one solid piece per side. Well, that's like a 13 foot log with a 12 inch diameter down to, like, they're probably like 8 inch up to 12 inch. Rewilded Life says those meta sheds don't last forever anyway. Those logs will be fine. Yeah, I know they will. They're hardwood logs. I just cut them down. They're going to be there a while. And so I cut them up to length, and then I'm looking how to transport them, how to get them in line. Of course, they were flipped the wrong way. So it worked out to where the logs were tapered. The biggest one for the back that was kind of a uniform height, the berm in the back was uniform height, because it was going perpendicular to the slope. That chunk of log was almost symmetrical diameter for 13 feet of that tree. The other two logs that I used that I cut to like 13 foot actually tapered down. And if I put them the right way and put the smaller ends up towards the short end of the slope, they worked. But the problem was moving them. A 13 foot log, a 12 inch in diameter is kind of heavy. I started messing around with them. I started trying to figure out how much they weighed and how I was going to move them around, because I don't have any equipment there. I didn't have another person with me. basically I had what was up there: logs, chainsaw, shovel, this and that. Not a whole lot of anything. And so I was sitting there, and when I chunked the biggest log up, it laid down on a teeter totter, like on a stump that was underneath it. And Canadian Farm says this Monday's show will be about carrying a 500-pound compactor up the hill. No, everything's getting compacted another way. And so it's sitting on a fulcrum. And so I go and I sit on the one end. And after being in the camper for this long, I've kind of I kind of bulked up a little bit, we should say. Not in a good way. I'm a little heavier than I normally like to be. And so I was like, well, my fat ass on the end of this, I'll be able to get an idea of like how heavy this log is. And like, I'm sitting on the end and trying to bounce on it, and it's barely moving on the other end. So I was like, this thing is heavy. This thing is heavy. And so I started messing around. I started rolling a little bit. I started trying to move them, and it took everything I had, guys. A, physically, but B, I had to devise ways to make these lighter. Basically, I ended up using leverage and fulcrums and like wheels. I ended up cutting little chunks of tree, probably 18 inches long and the same diameter of the tree, and was able to like leverage up the log and get these under and like roll them along. And then when I got to a certain point where I was near the berm, I would like lay it on the berm and turn it and then roll it again. And it was unreal. Canadian Farm says that fresh cut lumber is so heavy. And the fact that it fucking rained for 2 weeks before I cut the thing down, the day I cut it down, I was like, man, that seemed super wet. Like when it fell, it was more, you know, when you cut down dead tree, it's like it cracks. This was like it fell and it was like thud. Like it was just solid and saturated. And the next day when I came out, the stump was just like bleeding out sap. Like literally bubbling out the top as we were sitting there. I was like, holy shit, there's a lot of moisture in that. So yeah, I humped three of those babies around. I ended up getting them set in place. And they're it's gonna work. Now I just have to dig a hole. Like literally now what I need is material. And I have a lot of it. I got a lot. It's just a matter of digging it and just filling it in. So that Jim says dead is donk, where wet is more of a thunk. Yeah. So I wrestled those some bitches around, and they that worked great. Pickle Pete says, I almost ran over a black bear yesterday. We both looked at each other and were like, whoa, where'd you come from? I've had my share of run-ins with black bears. It is what it is. They don't want anything to do with you unless you're in between their babies and them. They don't give a shit. Corey used to chase them out of the yard with pot and pan. A pot and a metal spoon. Actually, I think what we used, you know, those shitty knife steels you get when you buy a crappy knife set. She used to actually use one of those and a pot, and she'd go running out the yard, banging it, yelling at them, and they'd just run away. Canadian Farmstead and Rue Wildlife talking about doing mushroom logs, and yeah, that's on our list too. Farm logs. I got a lot. I got like a dozen more trees to drop in the cabin site. And I was looking at the trees trying to figure out what they were. And I got all sorts of varieties, hardwood, softwoods, and all sorts of things. So I'll have all different projects to do with them, depending on which trees and time allotment. So I don't want to say necessarily more delay on the shed, but Corey's going to be coming out with me this weekend, and we're going to open the boxes. I'm going to shovel. I'll be shoveling and compacting and making a terrace, as Jim, I think, said. And Corey's going to be opening the boxes, making sure we have all the parts, because there is a warning on the instructions that you need to make sure that all the parts are there, or you need to have us send them out. And they said they send them right out, but that might be another delay. We'll see. We will see. Guys, we hit 50 on Tiny Armored Ones last night. I noticed right before bed. So this weekend, if that holds for the weekend, and right now we are still at 50. I appreciate everybody that popped on there and hit that subscribe. It should be working on that at some point this weekend, maybe tonight. We will see how that goes. But I'm able to fire up that phone. We'll see. We'll see if we got the bandwidth. We'll see how it goes. It's an experiment. Never done it before. But yeah, we want to fire up that live stream, the 24/7 live stream with the snail tank. If not, we'll just keep doing snail videos over there until we can figure something out. But I appreciate everybody that used all their names, all their screen names, all their logins and the such to get that done. Jim asked yesterday after I caught it after the show over on Noster in the chat. Jim had asked something about what a pangolin tastes like, because we were talking that they're endangered and extinct because people are hunting them for their scales and to eat them. So I headed to Canadian Farmstead says Monday morning, I'll be saying, I was going to set up the live stream, but there was another fire in the Chicago fire. Corey will shut me down on that one. So Jim was wondering what pangolin tastes like, and I haven't eaten it. I'm saying I haven't eaten an endangered species. I imagine if I got to taste it, I would be able to compare it to bald eagle. But I haven't had any of that either. So I went to the internet, and why not use AI? Why not use ChatGPT? I used ChatGPT. I used a couple of other AIs, and they don't really like telling you what an endangered species tastes like. They fought me hard. And the best I could get was it's pretty gamey and it has a strong wild animal taste. DNR, here they come. Here they come. It says it has a gamey taste. So if you want to try pangolin, you're going to have to brave heading to Africa or Asia, and avoid getting caught by anybody hunting poachers and shit like that. There was this chick a while back. I remember, God, how long ago is that? It was a while. It must have been 10 years ago or more. There was this chick floating around the internet that was like a she was like ex-military. She wasn't from the U.S. She was from, I think she might have been Israeli, but she had devoted her life to hunting poachers, and she was like the most badass kitted out tactical girl you'd ever see. all sorts of yeah. Yeah. If I was a poacher and she was coming after me, I don't know. Jim says, yes, what does it taste like? Jim says, pangolin tastes like a cross between whooping crane and spotted owl. Canadian Farm says, AI would probably say beef tastes bad and gamey at this point. Yeah. So Rachel, this wasn't on my show notes, but Rachel, this morning, Rachel posted in the group something about raw milk. They're having a raw milk fight up there in Michigan again. I don't have a horse in the race there because I don't do the milk thing. But the other day, might have been yesterday, the day before, Corey and I ended up talking about milk, and so the whole dairy industry and. This was one of the first things that we learned about that sent us down the our food system's fucked path. It was a documentary on Netflix, I believe, and they were talking about why we eat the things we do. Sorry, there was a little spider dropping down from my thing here. Rewilder Life says this is nationwide, not just Michigan. Now, okay, that's fine. Like I said, I'm not a crusader for milk. I don't drink it. Jim says raw milk causes retardation. What? But the documentary, and it was one of the first eye openers, like. They would really do this. It was about milk. And it was about the fact that they went down. So the catalyst, it was something else. But the catalyst going into it was we started talking low fat. We got... fat's making us overweight and blah, blah, blah. We have to do low fat, skim milk. And there was a whole big skim milk push. And so they were pulling all the fat out of the whole milk, and selling and stocking the shelves with skim milk. The dairy industry said, what are we supposed to do with all of the fat we're taking out of the milk? And the brilliance of this was they said, well, what do we do with it? We can make cheese with it. You remember the cheese, glorious cheese campaign? Think back and wonder when that happened, right after they started taking out the fucking fat from the milk and they needed something to do with it. Drink your skim milk with your big grilled cheese sandwich. Remember the thing about the post that made me think about this was Rachel's meme. It wasn't a meme. It was a info sheet, I guess. It says raw milk versus conventional milk, and it has the nutrients and immune factors and the difference between pasteurized and raw milk. And I see vitamin A, vitamin C, vitamin E, iron, zinc, B complex, calcium, enzymes, immunoglobulins, and whey protein. So those are the things listed. Those are the things listed on this info sheet. What is the thing that they've been telling us that we need from milk for years and years and years and years and years? And you got to drink your milk for your vitamin D. Gotta drink your milk to get your vitamin D. The only reason there's vitamin D in fucking milk is because they put it in there. fortified with vitamin D. There is very, 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 very little vitamin D in milk. So, Jim's having a good morning. He's gonna go hang out in the yard with deer. So yeah. Go look up the skim milk cheese, the whole skim milk cheese dairy industry. See what kind of roads that sends you down and makes you realize how fucked our food industry is. And then when you get done thinking about that, then equate all the bullshit that they've pushed on us along with the cures. Canadian Farmstead said Jim must have diabetes because he's high on the sugar from the cookie he ate. He's getting out the pressure washer. He's going to pressure wash the shit out of the house after drinking. After drinking GSD. After a pot of GSD and a cookie, he's going to go back pressure wash the house. Good morning, John Paul. How we doing? No. So real quick, I got Canadian Farmstead. I appreciate you posting that article yesterday that made my fucking eye twitch like Forrest Whitaker. So when I go to work at Delinquents Gully, there's no cell service. So I actually put my shit in airplane mode. And if I'm there for 6 or 7 hours, I turn it back on and my phone just like blows up for the whole day. Or for the whole ride home whenever I go into service and out of service. And so I get this picture when I get home, screenshot that Canadian Farmstead posted about Jack Dorsey investing in Noster and that Noster's CEO. I can't remember the term that they used. It was like CEO or Dorsey gave Bitcoin. The founder of Noster is a Brazilian man who appears to be a big fan of fascist conspiracy theorists. And so it was just a screenshot of the highlights of the article. And I asked, I said, hey, do you have a link to that article? Because I would really love to read it. Now, anybody that's on Noster, anybody that's looked into it a little bit knows that Jack Dorsey is heavily involved. He's there. He frequents it. He doesn't like fucking Twitter anymore, which he founded. He's more into the decentralized, the censorship-free. He's active on the platform. He donates a lot of money to the developers, to everything. So this isn't like shocking news that he donated to this project. Like it's easy to find out the amounts, the millions and millions of dollars he's donated. So this chica from California Yahoo Finance, I believe is, let's see. CA, is that Canadian or Californian? ca.finance.yahoo.com. And Yahoo Finance is still a thing, is weird. But this Catherine Long chick, she headlines her Business Insider article about Jack Dorsey and Noster. It says Jack Dorsey gave $10 million to an anonymous founder with a deep devotion to a fascist guru. Now, guys, I'm going to read the definition of fascism from Merriam-Webster website. Now, this is an internet version, so this could definitely be adjusted. But fascism is a political philosophy, movement, or regime such as that of the fascisti that exalts nation and often race above the individual, and that stands for a centralized autocratic government headed by a dictatorial leader, severe economic and social regimentation, and forcible suppression of opposition. I think we all know what fascism is. And she's going on and 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 on. And the guy that she's talking about, I interact with him quite a bit on Noster. Does that make me a fascist? But in the middle of the article, over and over, she talks about how Noster is a decentralized open protocol that promotes non-censorship, that promotes like the exact opposite of fascism. Canadian Farm said, I only posted the screenshot as reading the whole article lowers your IQ. It did. Like, it was a struggle to get through her word vomit. She literally despises Jack Dorsey because he left her favorite Twitter or X or whatever she's doing. And I don't know if it's that they're afraid of Noster, that they're afraid of freedom, because they were like, she was like, the founder says that, you know, this could be a place for hate speech, but we ask they go somewhere else. But it's a delicate balance of allowing people to say what they think or censoring them. I read this and it literally made my head hurt. The hoops that she's jumping through. Pickle P says, allegedly X said okay to porn on its site as of a few days ago. That was some people's issue with Noster. They're like, oh my God, when I went there, there was a big dick in my, I was going through my feed and there was a dick. What if my wife sees the dick on my phone screen? What if there was tits? There was a naked person on my screen. Are you a fucking adult? Curate your feed. Take a minute and fucking decide what you want to see and what you don't. Because you know what? Your neighbor might be jerking off to those titties. Maybe the only thing he wants to see on his feed is dick and titties. Pickle P says, I still have never run into a random raw penis on the web. I have. I've run into raw penis on Noster scrolling along. Boom, there's some dude just hanging out in front of a mirror, Johnson hanging out. And I was like, meh, that's nice. Blocked. I don't need to see his dick. But he has every right to put it up there. And I have every right to block him. Did it hurt my eyes or hurt my soul or make me gay or whatever? Because I was scrolling by and there was some dude's dick in a mirror. Whatever. Fucking get over yourself. Take responsibility for yourself. But guess what? You can post whatever you want there too. You can post pictures of your puppies. You can post your manifesto. You can post about fascism. You can be a Nazi. You can be gay. You can be straight. You can be whatever you want. And no one's going to say this violates our terms of service. No one's going to say your post has been removed because somebody bitched about it. You know what everybody fucking says on Facebook? I can't believe my post was taken down. Then stop using the fucking platform. It's not new. It's just gotten worse. Canadian's Farm says you really remember the specifics out of the picture.
Well, I had to stop and observe and try to figure out if it was mirrored or not. Like, did he flip the mirror on his phone? It wasn't that nice of a penis. Kidding. Canadian Pharmacist says, I have not seen any genitalia on Noster. Turns out you can choose what to see. I just had an open feed. I was in the global feed. That's a scary place, guys. If you go to Noster, this is not a scary place, I guess. You can see some weird shit. If you go to the global feed in Noster, it's just like, it's the big dump of everybody, not just the people you follow, but every post. You can see some shit. Jim says, not safe for work is so easy to turn on, so you only see and hear from the echo chamber you want. It is now. This was a year ago, or more, actually more than a year ago when I started using it. Before they started doing hashtag filtering, hashtag blocking. I think actually when I started using Noster, they were barely getting hashtag functionality up for searching. John Palmer says, I'm looking at a penis on YouTube. Oh, God. Freedom's scary, guys. Freedom's fucking scary. Non-censorship is scary. And I believe what the guy said that they were all up in arms about was that if I have the right to say what I want, so does everybody else. We hope that they don't come here. We hope that they don't hang out here. We don't like this space for that kind of speech, but they have the right to say it. I don't need anybody to protect me. I don't need anybody to decide to take the fat out of the fucking milk and repackage it as a cheese campaign and say we're doing net positive. I don't need after the fact, and if I voted, this would be relevant, but I don't need after the fact Mark Zuckerberg to come out and say, oh yeah, we definitely influenced the election. We fed everything to people that we knew that would either make them angry or get them to vote our way. We suppressed information and da 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 for elections or COVID or pokey jabs or whatever the fuck you want to talk about, that they just curate what you get to know. I don't know. Is that a good idea to you? Just so you don't have to see a big steaming pile of cock when you scroll through your feed. And then you just turn it off. I don't want to see any more steamy cock. The world has become a shitty, shitty place, guys. What are you going to do about it? Live your life. Get out in the woods. Get out in the woods. if you still want to use Noster, I got a sign-up video over on YouTube. It'll get you going real quick and easy. You can go see a big pile of steam and cock, maybe some titties too. It's not the only thing on there. And like Jim says, it's super easy to turn off now. That the platform or the protocol, the Noster protocol is evolving so fast. I was just reading an article that somebody wrote about all the they didn't realize. So they used Noster, they went away, they came back, and they thought it, they were like, oh, I was just under the assumption it was just this like Twitter feed type of thing. And then they started exploring all the projects that people are working based on the Noster protocol. And the fact that you can log into all of them all at once with one name, with one set of keys, your private key and your public key, you can log into all sorts of functionality across a variety of different tasks. Hunter says we really need to turn this into one of those doodle vids where they draw the things you talk about. I don't know if that's a good idea. Canadian Farm says, I'm about to step out my front door and my world is a wonderful place. And that is fantastic. John Palmer says, I still haven't been able to sign back into Noster. Start again. Start again and keep trying to log into the old one. Like, how much could you actually have built that it's not worth starting over? And then actually securing your information and making copies and backups of it. I was going to talk about some tickety talks. I'll save that for next Friday. I have enough right now. I have the beginnings of a tickety talk Friday episode next week. I'm going to keep those on the burner. I'll be adding more all week. And, we'll do it next Friday. John Palmer says, maybe social media isn't that important to me. It's more than social media. It's really, really developing into more than social media. News aggregator, social media, all sorts of shit. It's going to take over, hopefully. If it's not too late, if the world hasn't been pussified too much, I think the mainstream has been pussified so much that it might be too late for something where people actually get to choose what they see. Chris Dixon says, that's a great clip for everyone about social media. How much have you really built that you couldn't start over? I don't know. That is a good question. I struggle with that on a daily basis with the YouTube channel that I started 9 years ago. Put a lot of time, done a lot of things wrong, didn't build it right. It's just a conglomerate of a million different things. Will it ever be as big as I want it? Absolutely not. Will it ever grow like I want it? Probably not. Am I holding on to it for probably the wrong reasons? Absolutely. Was it hard to start a new YouTube channel with zero subscribers? Absolutely. Will it be better? I don't know. John Palmer says we need more social reality in society. It couldn't hurt. The problem is right now we're on the precipice of AI being integrated in all its glory with believable video, text, stories, audio across the board. If it's on the interwebs, you're not going to know if it's real or not. Add that in with the censorship of platforms like Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn and all of these that go to places where people spend TikTok, where people spend hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours of their time consuming shit that's just fed to them and curated to them by someone else. No wonder we're fucking idiots. I gotta get out of here. I gotta get out of here. Pickle P says, how soon till an AI Brian wakes us up? As soon as I check out in the woods, maybe I just need to find an AI bot to just do the show for me, and I just go sleep in the woods. Anyway, guys, it's Friday. We're going to wrap up, and we're going to get out of here, head into the weekend. Corey and I hopefully working on shed project this weekend. We'll see. We'll see how that goes. I got to get that shit up and move along. I literally think this will be the worst and most difficult project of the whole cabin build. I really do. I don't know. It's turning into just a spiral. So we'll get it done. We'll get it done sooner or later. I will get working on that. I'll get working on the snail live feed as quickly as possible. We'll see how it goes with my iPhone 8 or whatever old phone I'm going to be using to set this thing up. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. It's going to be a good weekend. I hope everybody has an awesome weekend. Come hang out in the Telegram chat at t.me/lots chat. It's where you can find us hanging out on the weekends when we don't have the live show going. I appreciate that. Check out Sydney. I didn't fucking update the show notes again. Man, it changes sometimes and it didn't save this time. So I think that link might be wrong in the show notes. If you're looking, I'll try to update it on the audio if you're listening to that, and retrofix the video feed. But Tiny Armored Ones on YouTube, you can click on that. Other than that, guys, I appreciate everybody listening. If you enjoyed the show, it's always free to hit that like, share, and subscribe. To return value for value, please consider joining one of the YouTube membership tiers, zapping it over on Noster, or listening on any value for value platform like Podverse or Fountain.fm. You can visit thelotsproject.com to find out all sorts of stuff about me, find partner companies, discount codes, affiliate links, and the such, product reviews, show notes, this, that, and the other thing, thelotsproject.com, or comfreyroots.com, the new budding business of Comfrey Roots, where we're going to sell them. We have other products coming soon, but head on over to comfreyroots.com and use coupon code SHARETHELOVE for a BOGO. Buy one, get one, two separate package in the same box. It's not a box, but two separate packages. So you can hand one off to a friend, neighbor, church member, somebody at the grocery store, random guy down on the street corner. Tell them to go gorilla plant those roots and get comfrey growing everywhere, because it's a fantastic plant. And I think we should be using it everywhere. Other than that, it's Friday. Have an awesome day. Have a great weekend. Make it count. Get shit done. Eat some cookies. Have some coffee. Whatever you got to do. Rock and roll. Have a good one. We'll talk to you on Monday morning.